Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I can't remember how I used to introduce this thing. Welcome back to the Front Three.
That's
I think how we used to do it.
Hold on.
What are you thinking? What's going on? Why is there a new Front Three podcast in my feed? Well, we just had some big news in the world of football, especially my world. Jose Mourinho is the new Tottenham Hotspur manager. Mauricio Pochettino sacked, and I just thought, who better to talk through my feelings about this seismic change in the world of Spurs than my good friends, my old podcast hosts. And why not record it and just put it out on the feed, you know? That's a good idea. First off, Lawrence, you're here.
Do you know how nostalgic this is?
It's incredibly nostalgic.
The most nostalgic thing that most people never got to hear about the old podcast is Dave for 10 minutes complaining about his laptop. I'll get my phone, and you're like, get the phone.
Jamaican, isn't it? Dave, how are you? On your phone, not your laptop.
No, I'm on my laptop. It worked. I've got battery problems where you got like condition and then
just like the good old days.
Unbelievable, like what?
Guys, thank you so much for listening. Look, the band is back together for one night only for now. But yeah, I just thought it'd be good to talk to you guys about this crazy news, get your thoughts on it. Mauricio Pochettino was sacked on Tuesday night. Jose Mourinho is the new Tottenham Hotspur manager, something I never thought I'd say. Seeing him holding up the shirt, seeing him in training, it just doesn't look right, I have to say. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. Dave, first off, you know, obviously you had Jose Mourinho at your club not too long ago. What was your reaction to the news, firstly, of Pochettino being sacked on Tuesday night?
I think that was a disgrace, to be quite honest. I think how it's been put out, it seems like a coup has been put in place where Mourinho seemed to have had that contract, seemed to have been set up to replace Pochettino. Pochettino has been bumped off at the back end of an international break, and now we're seeing Mourinho come in. I think Spurs have acted very, very poorly. You know, there's talk that Pochettino didn't even get to speak to the players and say, look, I'm leaving, I've been sacked, I'm out of here. That's pretty disgusting for a guy that's been there 5.5 years, that has done so much with that club. Like, look, Spurs were the nearly men before. Harry Redknapp, we all enjoyed Gareth Bale tearing it up. But Pochettino is the club.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with that. I felt very sad. I just felt very disappointed with the news came in. I kind of had made peace that maybe he was going to leave at the end of the season. It was going to be kind of a mutual divorce. Yes, the form in 2019 has been abysmal. Yes, the miraculous journey to the Champions League final papered over the cracks. But it just felt like he'd earned the right, as Dave says, given where he's taken Spurs since he's been at the club in 2014, to try and fix it, maybe to be given until the end of the season. Doesn't seem like Daniel Levy was willing to give him that chance. Lawrence, what was your reaction when you heard the news?
I was sad because I think everyone likes Pochettino, don't they? But I think the opposite side of that is that Daniel Levy also has a club to run. And, you know, I think Dave isn't necessarily talking about the sacking itself. He's talking about the way that they sacked him and the way that they let him go. And, it did feel a little bit cloak and dagger. I think there were times where there are a lot of things that went unsaid at Spurs. Maybe some of the players were unhappy with certain aspects. And it was difficult because I think a lot of sentimentality surrounding Pochettino and the fact that he built up so much kudos, if you like, from the media and from so many people, meant that no one really wanted to go in and put the knife in and sort of go, look, this isn't working. Like, you know, you need to change this. And, you know, maybe it's because we wanted to treat him kindly or we wanted to give him that time. But the fact is that with Spurs Project now, there is a timeline that Levy's put in there. And if it doesn't fit, then they have to find a way to make the timeline fit. And if your timeline doesn't fit Pochettino, who you think may be leaving at the end of the season, or maybe the players found out that he was leaving at the end of the season or in a two-season time or whatever you want to say, it shortens it because it suddenly the goals become very different. The goals suddenly aren't long-term. And the strange thing then is, well, if you want to make the goals long-term again, is Mourinho, A, still capable of making a basis for that? And secondly, is he the man who's not going to blow your club up within however many months?
This is the thing, because I think you're right. Like, especially for myself, being a Spurs fan, my reaction was very emotional, was very sentimental. And it's based on the fact that Pochettino has taken this club to someone who could compete for the league, who could reach the Champions League final, who could actually finish above Arsenal, something we hadn't done in 22 years, I think, before he arrived. But, you know, it's been, what, barely 48 hours, I think, now since Pochettino sacked. And I actually kind of find myself thinking it was the right decision to sack him. I actually think it was now the right time to make a break and bring a new manager. All the reports that are coming out from the likes of The Athletic, from elsewhere, The Guardian are saying that essentially Pochettino sulked his way to the sack. Levy felt like he had no option but to make a change.
Such an excuse. It's such an excuse.
Perhaps, that, but the
that
method...
It's like,
do you not think the method...
Some of those players that are just, there's players in that dressing room that stink of getting him sacked. Out of Alderweireld, Vertonghen,
Danny Rose.
Danny Rose, right? Danny Rose was probably, for me, one of the best left-backs in the world at the start of this year. So you're talking Champions League knockout stages. You know, the performances against City, Ajax were fantastic. His performances have fallen off a cliff. And it feels that those players didn't get moved on in the summer by Daniel Levy. And now they've turned on Pochettino. And then Pochettino now has bitten the bullet in a way. He's taken the flak for all of this shit, this mismanagement.
I agree with you there, because the situation is not of his making. Pochettino wanted to revitalize this squad. He's been saying to Levy for years, we need to move on certain players, we need to bring in the young players, and we need to go again almost. But in terms of the situation that Spurs find themselves in, which, yes, Daniel Levy has to take some blame for, I think that Pochettino leaving Spurs, it was a question of when rather than if now. It could have been the end of the season. It could have been before. So Levy made the decision to do it now. Yes, you might question, as Lawrence is saying, in terms of the project, is it about Daniel Levy needing to keep Spurs in the spotlight, trying to get them into the top four? He made probably the biggest decision of his career as Spurs chairman now. I think the fact that they sacked him was right, Dave, but bringing in Mourinho, that's where the huge, huge question mark in, because that's a manager who seems to be completely at odds fundamentally with the blueprint that the club had seemingly set out with Pochettino, a young manager, a young squad playing that, you know, high energy attacking football. And yet they've gone above the likes of, say, Eddie Howe or Julian Nagelsmann, managers they were reportedly looking at, and they've gone for the opposite in Jose Mourinho.
It's like the football that United played at the back end of Mourinho's tenure was shocking. Couldn't break through the lines, could have, you know, opened teams up. And I think we're still seeing a bit of a hangover at United at the moment. And I think that is a big problem. Look, Spurs are a very progressive side. They pass the football, they move it in between the lines, they create chances in areas that you don't want them to create in. And this is the issue, that Jose Mourinho was fantastic. Like, you know, you're thinking when he came to the Premier League, oh, he moved things on. You're thinking again into Milan. But that was 2010. You know, it's nearly 10 years ago where Mourinho was maybe at his top. And you look at the numbers as well in terms of how much he's getting paid. He's the second highest paid manager in the world right now. It almost feels, for me, like a publicity stunt. I think this is more a Lawrence McKenna line, but it feels like that they're going out there, Netflix documentary, let's do some absolute mental things. Let's sack our, you know, manager that's been there for 5.5 years because things are slightly going wrong. And let's bring in Jose Mourinho, who very much is box office.
Do you buy that, Lawrence?
Well, I do. I always wondered, and you do always wonder whether men at the top have that in them. And I know that there are certain people at certain clubs who get a reputation for, you know, wanting to make a bit of a statement or he's clearly managed this club to a certain degree, and he's always given it a good roadmap. And that's why Mourinho is quite a confusing appointment. But I guess we also don't know what the allure of Mourinho within the industry is, within football now. How do people feel about him? Does he go into a room? Because, you know, I saw a tweet today, I think it was John McKenzie or something like that, said, is Mourinho still capable of what he was capable of at 35, the age that he's at? Is he still capable of what, you know, we believe him to be? And, you know, to add to that, I also think, is Levy acting in the way that Pochettino himself acted? Is when someone isn't acting or playing the way that he wanted them to, he would get rid of them. And, you know, live by the sword, die by the sword, Pochettino. You know, he got rid of the bomb squad, he got rid of all those people who cleared house when he first came into Spurs. So Daniel Levy's just done a very similar thing now, if indeed Pochettino wasn't happy or wasn't performing the way he wanted to. And I think Mourinho, I mean, you know, Mourinho is one of those managers where if he doesn't work out, then very quickly you'll get a good barometer of what the club's really like. But apparently Mourinho very privately said, or now very publicly, I think you've got one of the best squads in the Premier League.
I was just going to say it's interesting to hear that first interview he gave for the club, because, you know, every now and then I try and tell you what to say. Lawrence, as a producer, that interview felt so overly produced in terms of he was saying all of the things that Spurs fans wanted to hear, from, as you say, you know, having one of the best squads in the league, to the best stadium in the world, to I'll be looking to that academy to bring through fresh blood. It was all like, oh, okay. So
can I ask you this, like, so do we really know the real Jose Mourinho? Or how many people have been suckered into thinking that he is this suave, sophisticated, fantastic guy who, let's face it, was at the very peak of his powers when he first came to England and, you know, romanced many of the journalists when he was in the press conferences, gave them the lines that they wanted, you know, was very suave, very good looking, was in all the right ads, the Samsung and all these different things. And it made me think maybe we put, you know, in many ways, products put a bit of an identity onto Mourinho that is suave and all these kind of things. And, you know, people who were around him that he liked were, you know, they were all advocates for Mourinho.
Maybe, I think, that, yeah.
Do we really know the real Mourinho is my question. Do we know what he's capable of now? Do we really, or is it that we've put this identity on him and he was very happy to go along with it because it was going very well? That since he's gone to Spain and Italy, places that didn't really accept his shit, I guess is the way I put it, have basically just gone, no, we're not having this. Like, this is bullshit. Like, you don't fit what we want. You're not our idea. He's a very English idea in, you know, let's work out the men who shaped him, Bobby Robson, some other people in there. But, you know, people like that, he's a very English idea of what a European man is and what a European man should be and how they should act and all those kind of things. I'm just putting it out there.
It is interesting. I think his personality has definitely changed for the negative over the time. I think you can see in the media that he once was full of energy, full of beans, and now he seems to get to clubs, has the beans for a year, you know, has some sort of clash with the board, flips out, and then just gets dead grumpy. And he's just really, really grumpy. And we saw that at the start of this season with some of the interviews that he gave. You know, obviously, I wanted Mourinho to succeed. Mourinho is one of my favourite managers of all time. I think the things that he's done with Porto, with Inter Milan, is pretty incredible. But at the same time, they almost got to a point where you were a real fan of this person, but they were so underachieving in your arena, in your, you know, in your sort of your home. And then you think, is this the guy that you love? No, it's not. And I think that is the issue for Spurs fans. I remember Mourinho saying the same thing when he joined Manchester United, and me being absolutely eaten out of the palm of his hands. This is going to be amazing. We're going to do, you know, we're going to win everything. It's, you know, the good times are back. We've had times with David Moyes, Louis van Gaal. Throw that in the bin. This is the time. But it was because Mourinho said the right things. And I think that's what you guys were touching on before, that this is a sequence of events that is happening. And I really thought Mourinho would get over 3 years at United, and he didn't.
It is, you know, my initial reaction was very negative. As I said, don't feel like he's a fundamental mismatch for the club. I can't really see this being anything other than a failure. And I find it very hard to believe they will see out that contract until 2023. As Dave says,
do you really think that? Do you honestly think
there's a struggle
to be a hero here?
Well, the only thing that's interesting, I think, is the question is going to be whether he is going to change he or Levy. One of them is going to have to change their approach. The signs are now, whether this is produced by the club or produced by Mourinho, the signs are that he's willing to change. And there are certain things come out in the media now where he is showing a willingness to evolve. The reports there are apparently he sort of reached out to some of his former colleagues at Manchester United, the club's hierarchy, and said, you know, where did I go wrong? He wanted to try and reassess and he wanted to try and evaluate the mistakes he made. He's talking about having 11 months out from the game, you know, having that sort of chance to reset, coming in and taking over a club in the middle of the season is something he's never done before, or at least I think the first time and only time he did it was when he's at Porto. Do you think, Dave, that he could change? I know you're talking about it being all talk there, but do you think that these circumstances are different to Manchester United? They're different to Chelsea, where things did go wrong. Arguably, this squad is a lot stronger than Manchester United, certainly the one he inherited there from Louis van Gaal. With Daniel Levy, it's a different sort of character in charge, one that potentially could be a bit of an abrasive personality and rub him up the wrong way, but it could be a kind of a levelling out personally of his personality and his approach. Do you think anything in the context of the situation could maybe show signs that it could go a different way to how it went in those previous spells at his two former clubs?
Look, he would have had to watch a lot of football in that year. He would have had to change a lot of things about how he plays football. And that is the big question, is has he changed? Because, again, there was talk before he joined Manchester United that he'd already changed then as well. It just seems like the same story over and over again. The thing you've got to look at, though, in terms of, you know, what has changed is, you know, his assistant, Rui Faria, that left Manchester United before Mourinho's last season at the club where everything fell apart. That's changed. He's no longer with Mourinho. There is a different approach. The interesting side as well, Mourinho's taken two coaches from Lille who have exceedingly overperformed in their league. They came second in Ligue 1 last season. There's so many talented young players there. But he's taken two coaches from there. If he can go around and he's building a different backroom staff, then you could say that is almost like Ferguson at Manchester United, where he would change his backroom staff and he would adopt his ideas and move forward. But for Mourinho to have that, I just don't quite believe it. That's the thing. I don't quite believe what he's saying. I don't quite think that, look, it seems deceitful. That's what it is for me. It seems deceitful. I think I've seen quite a lot of Mourinho firsthand. Now I think I question this, I question that. I question what his motives are here, his motives are there. And I think that's the thing. And you go back to the initial point of you saying that Spurs' squad is better than Manchester United was when Mourinho first took over. I'd probably question that. I'd probably say it was reasonably similar. Man United had just got Zlatan Ibrahimovic. They just signed Paul Pogba. They had Henrik Mkhitaryan, who was the best player in the Bundesliga. Yes, there was defensive issues, but Spurs have got massive defensive issues at the moment. Spurs haven't had a good fullback since Kyle Walker left. I think you're looking at that. Midfield still deserves that. Is Mourinho going to play Harry Winks in defensive midfield? Absolutely not. Like, there's a lot of questions there. And it seems that there's going to have to be a lot of good answers from Mourinho. He's going to have to get a lot right, really, to be anywhere near the top of European football again.
I mean, to go back to what Dave was saying there, Lawrence, I mean, do you think Levy's gone into this with his eyes open? Everyone's questioning this appointment, saying it's completely at odds with what the club wants. It's a fundamental mismatch. But do you think he's going into this with his eyes open and there's a sort of method to the madness in that he appreciates Mourinho as a short-term appointment. He knows it's box office. He knows it's going to keep the club in the headlines and make them probably the most talked about club in London. I mean, the press conference today, the press room was apparently rammed. It was busier than it was for the Champions League final press conference. And it gives maybe one, maybe two seasons of Mourinho there where, like I say, they are the talking point. They are the centre of attention in London. And then maybe then, you know, you convince the key players to stay, the likes of Kane, the likes of Son, and then you bring in that long-term appointment.
I mean, the real question here, and there are two dates that stood out to me. We're obviously the Liverpool and the City game, and I think I've said this on the kick-off, is, you know, whenever Mourinho goes to a place, then he makes things box office in that way. But it doesn't really matter whether Levy believes that or not. Like, what we judge was Pochettino on his end result. What we judge was Mourinho on his end result. And we we heard about them. Maybe with Pochettino, it was a bit easier to find out what his methods were. And there was a close circle of people. But because he felt like quite an honest, wholesome, down-to-earth guy, it felt a lot easier to buy into that and share that. I it's really about when or whether the press turn on them and whether the Spurs fans turn on them. And I guess you'll have to be a good judge of this. Is Mourinho... it felt like Pochettino bought his way into the Spurs fans' hearts. I don't mean he bought it. I mean, like, you know, got in because he reflected something about them, which was that they do feel like the more humble club of North London. They do feel like, you know, they're the silent operators in a way. And then, you know, that they'll be the surprise package and the underdogs and all this kind of thing. And
when you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mourinho is the opposite of that. And I guess that's the real issue. And at the same time, if I'm Harry Kane, if I'm maybe not Eriksen, I think I'll probably go anywhere, but if I'm certain players there, I'm still thinking, well, realistically, how long until... Maybe if you're Harry Kane, you think, I'll give it one more season. Because if we challenge for a title under Mourinho and I've just left, I don't want to be the guy that left and then they challenge for a title. I do wonder, though, how many players in Europe also look at that and go, do I want to play under Mourinho? Do I want to be, you know, under Poch? Maybe. Mourinho? I'm not sure.
I mean, you know, Ryan Sessegnon apparently joined Spurs to play under Pochettino, so I wonder how he's feeling right now. Now he's got Mourinho.
That is actually a really interesting thing, though, is because when James Milner joined Liverpool and then Klopp came along, Milner played at left back for ages. And, you know, in the end, he ended up in central midfield because he was such a loyal player and really played well for the club. So, I think there's different routes. It's very interesting that, you know, we obviously look for old patterns and then we try and put them on the new thing that's going to happen. We'd see Mourinho even wearing purple in training.
Bizarre.
Looks weird.
Absolutely bizarre. And the Spurs crest on his chest is hard to wrap that around.
It's strange.
Yeah.
I mean, there was the great question in the press conference today. It was like 4 years ago or something. You said, you know, you'd never be Spurs manager because the Chelsea fans would never forgive you or something to that effect. And he just went, that was before I was sacked. And you're like, but the Chelsea fans didn't sack you. Abramovich sacked you.
Yeah, but at the same time, they turned. Nah, they turned on him. I was at the game. It was an FA Cup game. And they absolutely went for him. It was vile. Like, it was one of those atmospheres that was just vile. And I think you remember that.
The reason they turned on him, though, was because he had turned anyway. So he'd become a bit of a pantomime villain, blah, blah, blah. I feel like the Chelsea fans went wrong on that. You know what I mean?
Me and you, Lawrence, were at the Manchester United Sevilla game. Do you remember in the Champions League where they lost? They were knocked out.
God, that was...
Thanks for reminding me, Adam. No, I went to both legs. I went away to Sevilla and then I watched the game at Old Trafford as well. Yeah, great football.
But that was interesting. Yeah, seeing the fans turn against Mourinho then, and as you're saying, they've seen the football on the pitch. That does give me pause for thought. I am surprised by how many Spurs fans seem to have been charmed by Mourinho. And had
as soon as he's barely honestly, said a word, and he's literally one press conference the day, and one video. And what? You guys are like, this guy is the Messiah.
I'm not kidding. The day it happened, everyone was fuming, everyone's angry. I still am personally very angry and sort of heartbroken at Pochettino leaving. But texting friends are like, oh, come on, you've got to be a bit excited, though. It's Mourinho.
You do. It's like,
I can
it's
really.
It's like signing Ronaldo.
A little bit, but I just think this is so. As I said before, it's the biggest decision of Levy's career. It's the riskiest decision because you can see it going well. You can see all of Mourinho's charm and you can see some of his old techniques working. And, you know, maybe he'll get some big results. Maybe he'll get Spurs back into the top four. But I just think it could go so disastrously wrong as well. And I think it's going to be, as Dave's suggesting, this is all talk at the moment, and I think it's working in a sense, especially on Spurs fans, but I think the old patterns will come out. I hope they don't. I hope I'm proved wrong. I hope, you know, all this talk of him changing and sort of learning from some of his most recent mistakes are true, but it's risky. It's incredibly risky.
Do you know what it stinks of? It stinks of when Sam Allardyce fell off the cliff. So obviously Sam Allardyce did some wonderful things in his career. You know, the stuff at Bolton was brilliant. You know, had a decent spell at Blackburn. He was okay at West Ham. He kept going. But then after that England job, Crystal Palace, he was pretty rubbish. Everton, he was atrocious. Mm. Everton were ranked 20th for total shots, 19th for shots on target, 16th for pass accuracy, and 17th for shots faced. They basically were atrocious. And it kind of feels like Sam Allardyce was like sticking around like a bad smell for ages while the relegated team. And now it feels like Mourinho is like a bad smell that sticks around the top six teams.
I really do subscribe to that theory that, you know, Mourinho was broken somewhat at Real Madrid, and he's yesterday's man in that all of his techniques and his approach to man management and tactics, etc., it works on that older generation who have slowly been phased out of the game. And with these millennials, let alone Gen Zers who are in the squad now, the likes of Ryan Sessegnon, it's not as effective as it once was, and it can't work. But I hope I'm proved wrong. Before we go, Dave, I just want to ask, do you think it's going to work out for Mourinho? What's your prediction for this season, first of all? Do you think they'll get back into the top four, for example? How do you see this playing out for Mourinho at Spurs?
I think that they will get into the top four. I think they'll pick up a number of scouts on the way. I think Harry Kane is going to score so many goals. If you look at Mourinho, when he has a number nine, Diogo Melito, Ibrahimovic, scores around 30% of their goals. So if Kane scores and gets far under Mourinho, they'll be fine. If he doesn't, then it is about Mourinho sorting out that dodgy defence, and maybe they have to sit a bit deeper. Maybe they do have to defend because they've got older legs at the back. But if they want to call on one player, Davinson Sanchez has got to be the guy that Mourinho works out and works on the bad parts of his game, but brings that side that we've seen, the aggression, the agility, the strength, the ability to basically hold up the Spurs backline that we've seen in some games. That is, if Mourinho gets that right, gets his midfield right, and Harry Kane scoring, then yes, top four.
And beyond? He's sacked next season.
It's going to be... you've got 3 years with him. That's it. So just enjoy the roller coaster, Adam.
Oh, it's definitely not going to be boring. Lawrence, what's your prediction for Mourinho Spurs? How do you see this going?
I definitely think that it's going to be interesting to see how Harry Kane takes on the Didier Drogba role. I'll be interested to see how many of the people there are not men. In the way that Mourinho wanted. There was an interesting interview today with John Terry where he was saying that I think it was Kevin De Bruyne and Mo Salah were 20% sort of below the other guys in the squad, and that's not why Mourinho didn't like them. I think he might have given himself a bit of a rub for his own back, because he has basically gone out there and gone, yeah, I mean, this is actually really well set up. So if it doesn't go well, then it's sort of like, well, who's to blame then, Jose? Like, who is to blame? I'll also be interested to see whether just tactically he can Dave's probably a better one for this, but realistically, I know the weird thing is, I think of, you know, the Mourinho times when it was like, oh, Mourinho's actually got some really interesting football, he's actually really good at this, but actually most of the time he just plays for a 1-0 or whatever. Are your Spurs guys going to be happy to be the bad guys in games? Are you going to be happy to be grinding out a 1-0 against their side? And realistically, can your boys, and that's what worries me, keep their heads? There are so many Spurs guys whose heads go within minutes. And if Mourinho's ratcheting up the pressure, are we going to see so many red cards just popping off all over the place? Because the players just, not that they're ill-disciplined, they're just angry little men.
They are. Eric Dier under Mourinho is going to be interesting.
I mean, I wonder whether he is going to play the United way, or whether this is going to be a bit of an Inter Milan job, or which team are we going to start comparing this Mourinho side to? Is this going to be a Porto? You know, are we going to see a Porto Tottenham here? I don't know.
Or a Manchester United 2017. Let's hope not. We'll see how it works out. I think, on the pitch and off the pitch, there's so many question marks. But this has been it's been very helpful. It's been therapeutic to sort of try and make sense of my feelings with you guys. It's been very nostalgic as well.
I'm sort of worried as to how you are, because we were together on the day we were recording something.
Yeah. Just shell-shocked.
You looked gutted.
Yeah, I mean, it is like it's hard. It's a manager who's given you so many incredible memories, like Mauricio Pochettino, and as I said at the top, he's transformed the club from. You know, I remember when I was little and Spurs used to finish 14th, 15th. Yes, the real transformation happened perhaps when Harry Redknapp arrived at the club and we started to challenge for the top four. But Pochettino made it a given. He made it, you know, every season we were finishing the top four. 3 years in a row, we finished above Arsenal, getting to the Champions League final. And let's not forget either the constraints that he was under at Spurs. Let's not forget how much he overperformed at that club to maintain that level for a number of years. Yes, opposition fans will always point to that lack of silverware, but he achieved so much more by transforming this club. And I think, God, the memories that he's given Spurs fans and he's given, you know, me personally, I'll never, ever forget that.
It's the crying, isn't it? It's the crying
that
really capped it off for me.
It's the tears.
It was the fact that he felt that and that he was so emotional out on the pitch, I think, that got me the most when he left. Because
when he was thanking football. In his post-match interview, he was thanking football. It was beautiful.
Thanking football. I mean, Mourinho thanks himself after a game.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Pochettino's crying, you think, God, he's crying because of his own achievements, but he's crying with us. When Mourinho is crying after a game, you clearly know Mourinho is crying for himself.
This is the thing. I think, you know, I wrote an article, which I'll definitely link to in the show notes in a bit of shameless self-promotion, but I sort of started it by saying, you know, I love Mauricio Pochettino unreservedly, and it's hard to ever imagine loving Jose Mourinho. I think even some of the things he said in the press conference today, you know, even though he's saying he's changed, there's still that hint of, you know, Mourinho cares about Mourinho, and he will defend himself above club, above any player. I think the line in the press conference was they asked him, you know, how do you think the Spurs players will be feeling about losing a Champions League final a couple of months ago? And he replied, I wouldn't know. I've never lost a Champions League final. So yeah, still that Jose Mourinho there. But as I say, this has been very therapeutic. Before we go, I just wanted to say, Dave, what have you been up to? Tell the listeners who might not be following you. You're so busy. You've got so many
everything.
Things on.
Walker
Talk
Dave
to
again.
Us.
You've got to give him that. Dave is Walker Dave again.
It's crazy. Going back in time. I'm off to Kazakhstan this week. I've
That's
been
what
in
I mean.
Rome.
So
Roma. That's I was what... in Partizan to watch. In Partizan. I was in Belgrade to watch Partizan.
Talk to me about that. Talk to me about Roma first off. Because am I right in thinking you put out a tweet about Chris Smalling and how well he's playing at Roma. And all of a sudden, a week later, you're there in Rome.
Oh, you know, sometimes your stars align. Unfortunately, didn't meet Chris that time, but we had a lovely exec experience. It was great. Apparently, I was sat in front of one of the biggest guys in the Marvel Universe, Boltwood. You would have
Who?
Been fuming at me.
Who?
There's an Italian actor that's, again, I'm so bad with films. It's not my forte. Spend too much time watching
Come on,
retakes.
Boltwood, you don't know the Italian actor that's big in the Marvel
Of course.
Oh, you can probably Google it here. Let me have a quick look. Italian actor.
Ruffalo sounds, he's got an Italian heritage,
Ruffalo.
I'm sure. The name suggests
Ruffalo sounds implausible.
Ruffalo or something.
Pier Francesco Flavino. And then Eduardo Leo.
Who?
Yeah, these are like serious actors and serious people in the old Italian game. So
Never
this guy was
this
known for.
Is he Italian by trade?
Yeah,
this
so
lad
to speak.
Is Italian by trade. He was born in Rome. This guy was in the Chronicles of Narnia. And was it World War
Z? The classic Marvel universe.
No, but he was definitely in a Marvel. I swear, someone said he was in a Marvel film. You know, don't shoot the messenger.
Pierfrancesco Favino.
Angel of Demons he was in.
These guys are not in the Marvel. These are just very, they're probably very famous in Italy. We're probably doing them a massive disservice by slating their credentials.
That they just didn't say, like, about Francesco Totti, he is Iron Man, and Dave's like,
oh, no,
in the Marvel universe.
No, if you go to the video that we made in Rome, like, it's literally, the comments are full of it.
See, we've been slightly sidetracked because now we're talking about the stars of Italian stage and screen as opposed to what I was trying to say was, look at how amazing your life's going, Dave. You've got all these amazing opportunities, but we just ended up talking about Italian actors.
Especially the Marvel Italian actors. They're the big ones.
What have you got coming? There must be something big in the pipeline where you're going to go to an amazing stadium and sit behind some other C-list actor.
Well, I hope so. I think the access you all got when I was in the Partizan ground was pretty sensational. I pretty much had like one of those UEFA passes and I was like walking around the ground. So I'm looking forward to doing that in Kazakhstan in the, not the freezing cold, it's -21 outside, but it's 15 degrees in the stadium. So that is going to be one hell of a head.
talk to us as well about, so what Stuntman Dave on now? You're on like 170 odd thousand subscribers, the YouTube channel.
Something like that.
Yeah, you're doing stuff for the club now. I always see you working with the club.
I've got some friends in the club, me and Danny Webber. Produce a great
Danny
show.
Webber. Doing a bit of tactical analysis, etc.
It's nice.
Can people see this on the Manchester United YouTube channel? Or is
Sometimes it's on the Man United YouTube channel. Other times it's on the Manchester United app. Or sometimes it's on the Manchester United website. So you've got to be smart with these types of things. Just keep, you know, keep yourself in the game.
Stuntman Dave going
all
from straight to straight.
We mocked Dave. We said, Dave, you stop. Stop being a
no one likes tactics. Man. No one cares about tactics.
Dave, we were in the pub and Dave's going, yeah, I mean, to be fair, the amount of conversations that I have with people, I was going, no, Dave is onto something. And they're going, I just think he's a moron. And I was like, no, Dave is a smart guy. But credit to him. There's so often I speak about Dave with such pride where I'm like, yeah, he's working for the club now. And people are like, wow, you know, Statman Dave.
Wow, we can do anything in this world if that idiot can be on a club channel.
Someone said to me the other day, well, is he part of the Marvel Universe? And I said, in Italy,
definitely in Italy. I'm part of the Marvel Universe.
Tell me this, Dave,
the big contract.
Dave, tell me this. Have you had a face-to-face conversation with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
Yeah, I met him at the Player of the Year Awards last year.
Are you mates?
Yeah. Well, I saw him then and he introduced himself to me and then I've seen him again.
He introduced himself to you.
Mate, weirdest moment of my life. I thought I was going to die.
Wow.
Strange. But yeah, crazy times. One of my childhood hero, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, knows who I am.
That's so weird. Surreal.
What was said? Did he come over and go, hello, Dave, how are you?
No, he actually said he likes what I do, tactical analysis, so...
You didn't criticise him in any of your analysis, did you? Did he come over and say, listen, I've got a real issue with some of your pointers.
If you continue this up, mate, you're getting cut.
Wow, unbelievable.
He didn't say that at all.
You're getting cut, Dave. You're a legend, Dave.
Now, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's a lovely bloke, and I really hope everything goes well for Manchester United. I think that's, you know, he does get the club, and I think that's a big, big thing.
I think he actually will.
Snake in my boot.
I'm almost starting to come around on Solskjaer now. I think he's safe from Pochettino. Pochettino's probably going to go to... maybe a foreign club, all the reports seem to indicate.
Solskjaer's safe. That narrows it down.
Well, you know, I think it was Real Madrid or was it Bayern Munich? Although apparently he can't speak German, which they don't take kindly to Bayern Munich.
But the biggest seems like, insult he ever could have made.
But it seems Ollie's safe for now, Dave?
Yeah, it's a long-term project.
Good.
You've got to keep him safe.
Look at Chelsea. Look what happens when you trust in a club legend and the youth. You know, it can all work out.
It's so fun. Just before we go, it's so funny how it's like Chelsea are trusting in youth. They've got so fucking fundamentally lucky with what's happened. Like they've had the best academy for the last 5 years. The last 10 years? Why are they only now playing their youth prospects?
Yeah. I'm a bit disappointed.
Let's pretend that's not an issue. You know, let's pretend that Abramovich didn't spend all the money, didn't give any chances. Or let's pretend PSG's academy is absolutely amazing, yet none of the players play for PSG. They just spend their money.
Maybe
anyway,
just, you need the right manager who's going to bring them through, you know? And Frankie, like Big JD. Well, yeah, the less said the better. Lawrence, before we go, if you know, the listeners of the Front Three listen to this, the first time it's popped up in their feed, they haven't heard from you in a while, what's going on?
We do the kickoff every weekend. We've got some good stuff out. Come big podcast coming out soon. Tyson Fury and
big podcast.
Talking a good
sick.
Podcast. Tyson Fury and Ninja.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Ninja. Did I see Jordy with the Ninja?
Ninja was a lovely guy.
Very nice.
Had a good level of sarcasm. Got the jokes. Like you know, some guests come on. Definitely not Tyson Fury. And can't understand your sarcasm. And so it was a fun podcast, well worth a listen. And what else do I even do now?
Enjoying Liverpool top of the league, Lawrence. They're going to win it, right?
But that's not really something that other people can share. I suppose you can share in it with me if you know.
I wish I was at that moment when you went mental when Liverpool scored. I can't remember what game it was.
I think it's the last-minute winner.
Yeah, the last-minute winner. And you went mental. That is the most mental I've seen Lawrence McKenna. And I am gutted that wasn't in that room.
That's when he knew. He knew the title was Anfield bound.
Shut up. It was because I'd had a Man City fan further around the table just needling me the whole game and sort of like, oh, they were no good. even Brian was sitting there, you know, saying, oh, I don't think it's going to happen for them today. And Hugh was saying, everyone was winding me up a bit. And I was just like, you know what? I love these guys. All these guys are just my guys. Like, and I didn't think I'd maybe love a Liverpool team like I love the Xabi Alonso side. So it's good to have two teams in. Some people don't even have a side right now that they like. Am I right, Dave?
Excuse me. Hey, not that they like, but they love, you see.
The funny thing is, Dave does actually love this Manchester United team, because anytime I talk to him, he really does speak with a lot of passion and heart about it. It is very sweet the way that...
I do believe in them. Like, you know, obviously, I've got a greater connection with this team. I do generally believe in the people that are making the decisions at the moment. And I think you kind of have to as a football fan. I think you have to believe in the project. Because if you don't, then what's the point of you being there? Like, the toxicity around football and media is just so horrible that, look, like, you go to the football to have a laugh with your mates and have a beer and sing a song. And then if you win, you win. And if you don't, you don't. So I think you just need to believe. And that's something that I think we need to re-educate ourselves as a football and community.
What a beautiful message to end it on.
What a way to finish the podcast. Yeah, lovely.
Guys, thanks so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this little one-off. We love you. We miss you.
Go follow Adam Boltwood and make sure you read his article.
Come follow me. We hope to see you again soon. Thank you so much for listening. And hopefully we'll speak soon.
The rumours are Zlatan is coming to Tottenham,
fuck
Adam.
Off, really?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, my God.
The Telegraph reported it an hour ago.
Oh, okay. Oh. Well, if that comes true, there'll be another emergency broadcast in January. So there you go.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.